Well, as I mentioned already, it's so good to see everyone this morning. I got to meet some guests earlier before the service began and want to say welcome. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. We're appreciative of you being here, and we certainly want to make you feel really welcome. I hope you'll give us a moment afterwards and just get to meet us, and we want to say thank you. Also want you to be praying for Miss Sherry Barker's mom. She is, I was just talking to Alan just right as I came in, and wanted to tell you to pray for Sherry's mom. She is terminally ill and will be out in the hospital now, but be moved to a care facility probably tomorrow morning early. So keep Sherry in your prayers, and then her mom as well. And it's so good to have each of you, but it's good to have my sister over here. She's on the nearly the front row. And so if somebody comes that close to the front, something's wrong. Either they're a relation to the pastor, or they got brought up by some other deacon or something like that. Who knows? You heard about that one lady that came to the church, and she said, I'd like to be seated. And the usher said, oh, okay, we can do that. And he said, I'm going to take you, I'm going to take you right here to the back. She said, oh, no, I'd rather be down at the front. And he said, no, you don't want to do that. She said, oh, yeah, I do. I want to be down at the front. And he said, no, man. He said, I hate to say it, but she said, our pastor's long, he's boring, and it'd be better if you were out the back. That way, if you need to slip out, you can. She said, young man, do you know who I am? And he said, no, I don't. He said, I'm the pastor's mother. And that usher looked back and said, ma'am, do you know who I am? And she said, no. And he said, good. So that one just came to me. That was of the Lord. I got my joke written down here. I'll get to that in just a moment. But so my sister on the front row, she's my only sister, but a wonderful sister. And so we have three used-to-be Herdman ladies, Amy Herdman, Allie Herdman, and Julie Herdman Kinder. And she's married to a wonderful, wonderful my brother-in-law. And so we're thankful that she's here with us today. And thank you for being here. And it's a joy to see each of you today. I'm just so thankful that God has allowed us to be together. And I trust that you feel like you've been at church. And I want the Lord to do a great work in each of our hearts. I'm looking at Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, we'll read a few verses there. This is one of my favorite stories about Gideon. I've preached about him before, but I'm going to preach about him today. As you find your place there in Judges, it's in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, not far through there. Judges chapter 6. While you're finding your place there, I did hear this story about this kindergarten teacher. She was trying to build self-esteem. She wanted the kids to be confident, and she was trying to build them up, and she was trying to relate to them all that they're special, and God's got something for them, and they're not ignorant, they're not dumb, or anything like that. And she was trying to teach this, and on the heels of her lesson, she said, is anybody in this room dumb? And she was wanting to, of course, have a no. And she said, if anybody in this room is dumb, I want you to stand up. And the inference from her was everybody stay seated. She said, is anybody in this room dumb? You stand up. Nobody stood up. Finally, one little boy in the back, he stood up, popped up there just like he was on a spring. And the teacher said, oh, now, Johnny, you're not. You said, listen, you're not dumb. She said, I said, if anybody was dumb, stand up, and you should have stood up. She said, Johnny, you don't think you're dumb, do you? And he said, no, ma'am, I just saw you as the only one standing. I didn't want you to be all by yourself. So, everybody be seated. Judges chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress. Now, I want you to look at the next phrase, to hide it from the Midianites. I brought out before how Gideon was hiding the activities from the Midianites, because if you'd read the first 10 verses of that chapter, you'd see that the Midianites had taken over and they were a cruel taskmaster. And so Gideon is hiding out, and we won't develop that because we've done it before. He's hiding out down there from the Midianites. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon answers in verse 13 the same thing you would have answered, and I think I would have answered if the angel of the Lord had come down and visited me and said, Gideon, you are a mighty strong man. You're a mighty man of valor. I think he'd have said, who, me? The guy that's hiding from the Midianites, the ones that's ruling over us? I'm down here hiding out just trying to do what I can do. He would have answered in verse 13 like we would have. Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us? And then that next phrase, which will be our title, where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. He says, my family's poor, and I'm the least of that poor family. We don't have anything going on. In verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I want to bring from that passage, or that verse number 13, our text, our title rather, where be all his miracles? Bless us, Father, is our prayer, and we'll thank you for whatever you do. I pray that you'd move people, me, out of the way, and I pray that you'd minister to hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Gideon says, like we would have, Lord, if I'm this mighty man of valor, and if the Lord is with me, and we've got all this favor from heaven, why is all this stuff befallen us? Basically, in our vernacular, we said, what's all this stuff happening for? Lord, if I'm so blessed, if you haven't forsaken us, if you're still with us, if I'm such a mighty man of valor, if I've got the victory, why am I feeling so lousy? He could have said, Lord, if you're going to use me, if you're going to bless this group, if you're going to be with me, if I'm such a strong man, why is all the crummy stuff happening in my life right now? Could have said, if what you say is true, where's all those miracles that my granddad and great-granddad and all these old-timers used to say about things? And I think that you can see where I'm going this morning. If we're not careful, we can get to the same place. A preacher or somebody on the radio or your own Bible reading can say, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. You're highly favored. You're blessed. You're exalted. God's exalted in your life. You've got the favor of God. I'll call upon me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me. And you see all these promises, or you hear some pastor or teacher or whoever is preach about them, teach about them. You read them yourself. And you could be like Gideon, where you'd say, if all of that's true, where be all the miracles? Where be all the workings? Or, why so much crummy stuff happening in my life? Why have I been to the funeral home so many times in the last 6 months? If all these things are good about me and God's favor is upon me and I'm highly blessed or highly favored and blessed beyond all, if all that's true, why have I been to the hospital so many times? If all these things are true and God is with me and He'll never leave me and nor forsake me, and you say that we're more than victors through Christ that saved us, more than conquerors through Christ that saved us, why am I having all of this struggle in my family? Why am I struggling to keep my kids on my team? Why is it that I can't hardly keep my marriage together? Why is it that all of these things are happening? Why are all these things befallen me? And Lord, where be all the miracles? If I'm a mighty man of valor, as God said He was, as He sent His angel, thou mighty man of valor, if I'm a mighty man of valor, why all this? Gideon's under the rule of the Midianites. They're a cruel taskmaster, as I mentioned. He is having to hide his daily chores just so that the little bit of gain that he gets for his own family isn't taken by some soldiers, as they often would do if somebody was, as he was threshing wheat and they were down by the wine press, as they were doing these chores to get just enough meal, enough stuff for their family to live on, and soldiers of the Midianites would come in and take the day's labor and take it back to the group of soldiers. And so to try to keep that from happening, Gideon would be hiding there and securing the spoils that God had given. He's from a poor family. He's the least of his poor family. So he's across the tracks, but he's in the worst single-wide trailer across the tracks, down there where nobody goes. So he's not the upper echelon. He's not the lower echelon. He's the lower part of the lower echelon. And he says, God, if I'm such a mighty man of valor, why is my family the poorest? Why am I the least of all my family? I guess you could say, in the way that sometimes they used to put it in yearbooks, he's not the most likely to succeed, but he would have been, if there had been a category, the least likely to succeed. And I think that today many of us feel like the same. When me, as your pastor, I come to you and say, God's for you. You answer back, maybe you don't outwardly, but inwardly you say, doesn't seem like it. You may be like Gideon when somebody tells you that, and if you are, let me give you just a few points I think will be a blessing from our text. I want to encourage you today that God's working even when you don't see it. An old saying goes like this, God does not always pay on Fridays. And what that's in reference to is when almost all jobs used to pay on Friday, and they usually weren't 1 week behind. You worked that day, that week, and you got paid for that week. But an old preacher put it so aptly when he said, God doesn't always pay on Fridays. That's true in the good, the negative, and the positive. You keep on laboring, keep on serving, keep on doing what God wants you to do. Keep on being the husband you're supposed to be. Keep on being the family you're supposed to be. And trust God, his accounting is superb. His figures are always accurate. He hasn't missed one bit yet, and he's not going to start now. God doesn't always pay when you think he will, but he'll certainly bless in so many ways. And that's also true in the negative sense. You think, well, I got by with it. Don't mistake God's long suffering for God's lack of judgment. But I want you to see this morning three things, if you would. Verse number 16, what he tells Gideon. Verse number 16, he says, surely, and the Lord said, surely, I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. We see that he gives, number one, his promise for his presence. He says, I'll be with thee. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Back in the Old Testament, Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know no greater promise than this, than that one that says, God will be with us. But you say, preacher, I don't want God's only God's presence. I want him to get me out of the problem, but that's our problem. We always want to be out of the problem, but God doesn't say that he's going to get us out of it, but he says he's going to be with us all the way through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, not because you took me out of the valley, but because thou art with me. Rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so I'm telling you this morning, the greatest promise that I can give to you from this passage is when God comes down to Gideon and he says, I'm going to be with you. In a cold, damp prison cell, the Apostle Paul prayed, and Silas with him prayed and sang praises because they knew that God was with them. I don't know what you're going through, my friend, and you don't have to tell me. I don't have to hear all of it, but I know one that does know it. And I can tell you as assuredly as the Apostle Paul and Silas sang praises in the night, you too can sing praises in the night, because it's true that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as Gideon said, if I'm such a mighty man of valor, where's all the miracles at that I've heard about? I don't know how you can see the miracles coming. I don't know when they'll come, but I do know this, that God will be with you through every stage of life that you're going through. That's why when we get word of one of our sweet members that say, I've got cancer, that's why I understand when Alan gave me that note this morning about Sherry's mom, that I tell him the same as I tell all of us. I can't say that problems won't come, but I do say that the sweet Holy Ghost of God will be with us all the way through that ordeal that we're going through. I'm telling you this morning, God says, I'm going to be there with you. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you're not going through it alone. I can't tell you it'll come out like you want it to, but I can tell you, you've got a presence with of the Lord with you. Not only do we see he says that I'll be with you, but then he also pronounces victory on in verse 16, if you will. And the Lord said, surely I'll be with thee, and thou shalt smite, you'll get them in battle, the Midianites, as one man. Don't worry, Gideon. You want to know where all God's miracles are? You're about to see. You're about to see a few things. If you'd read the rest of that chapter later, you'll see some things and keep on going. The Midianites get defeated in the next chapter, and God proves true to the words that he gave to Gideon. And I'm saying this morning that you will win, Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. Nay, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He told Gideon, I know it looks bad. I know you're down here by the wine press threshing wheat. I know this is not where you want to be. I know you don't want the Midianites over you, but you just hold on. I've got victory coming. It may be a little delayed in your recollection. It may not be as fast as you want. I can imagine when Mary and Martha had their brother and Lazarus was dead, and as Jesus came and said, I want to see where he's at, and the one said, oh Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinketh now. As we've been told before, when God is late, he's always right on time. And I'm saying this morning that not only did God say that he would be with him, but he says you're going to win. And I can tell you, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday just a couple weeks ago. And on Friday and on Saturday, it looked dark to those disciples. And Peter was leading the charge to go do some other things. And John, all of them despondent and depressed. But up from the grave, he arose with the mighty power over his foes. I'm telling you this morning that God always wins, no matter what the problem is. And God tells Gideon, you're on the winning side. Most of us would be greatly inconvenienced if you hadn't driven into church today or got driven by somebody. Most of us would be totally lost without our car. We couldn't get to work. You couldn't get to Walmart. What a life that'd be. Now that I think about it. But there was a day when the horseless carriage was fighting for its existence. Late 1700s, early 1800s, there was a Frenchman that made the first, that is in history, the first vehicle that was going to move under its own power, steam powered. But it was a tough sell for all those old farmers and people that trusted the horses more than this newfangled contraption. But the horseless carriage won out. That first one was easily defeated as far as speed by any old mare. Approximately 1 mile an hour, that first steam-powered car would go. It actually was for some wartime things. Carried guns and could easily be beaten by a horse or a buggy or a surrey. But the horseless carriage steadily went on. And now there's a couple hundred of them out here. Unless I'm surprised, and this is different than the other Sunday, nobody rode their horse this morning. If you did, he's getting wet out there. And you say, what's that mean? I'm just saying it was slow going for some of those cars. But technology took over and succumbed, and rarely any of us ride horses unless it's just for pleasure. And my friend, as people were laughed at for having those horseless carriages, as they called them, the last laugh was on them, I guess. But I know that there are people who are wondering why you gather at that church has got the steeple up point of the sky. Why would you gather and waste your time on that fairy tale stuff? Why would you gather and hear all those fables and stories? Why would you gather and why would you do all that? My friend, I'm telling you this morning, not only does God say that he will be with us, but he says we will win. The Bible says that we will see the victory of the Lord. And all at one point, the Bible says that every knee shall bow before the Lord and confess that he is God to the glory of the Father. I don't say that in a happy, gleeful way as far as what will happen to those that deny him, but I'm certainly going to get everybody who knows him and who claims him and who brags about him and who talks about him and who prays to him. I'm certainly going to get every crowd I can, just like this one, and say, praise God and the Lamb forever. Not only will he always be with you, but my friend, because of what Jesus Christ has already done, the victory is settled, and death, hell, and the grave, they hold no hold on us because of the victory in Jesus Christ. And what he told Gideon on that day was, not only will I be with you in verse number 17, but you shall smite the Midianites as with one hand. But let me give you this last one before we leave. Not only did God say, you're going to win, boy. You've got my presence, son. But he also gave him peace. Look down, if you will, in verse number 24. We would have for time, we won't, but we could have read the whole passage there, and maybe you can do that later sometime this week. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. If that last part of God's name doesn't sound a little familiar, then remember this, that Shalom is a Jewish greeting, which means peace be upon you. And when you put that together, that's bringing out the aspect of God. And that's one of his names, Jehovah Shalom, means the Lord is peace. And so here Gideon builds an altar, calls it Jehovah Shalom. And when God first gave this to human eyes, it was still there unto that day. I see not only will he be with him, not only will you say that you win. I understand that people are ridiculing, people are mocking and saying that this is silly, that that's just some crutch to get you through, that religion stuff, just some crutch to get you through. I understand all the naysayers, but my friend, don't forget that the last page has not been written and the battle is not over. The Lord will have victory over all these things. He says you'll win. But while we're battling, he says, I'm going to give you peace. I don't know of a better gift that God could give you and me than peace. You say, when we talk about Christmas time, peace on earth, where is it? Well, I know one place it is. In my heart. Because I'm at peace with God. There was a time in my life when I wasn't at peace with God. When I would lie awake at night worried about what would happen to me if I don't wake up on this side. But now I sleep. If I'm woke up, if I don't sleep now through the night, it's not because I'm worried about my soul's destination. I might be worried that I ate too much something too late and shouldn't have, or it had too much hot sauce or something on it. But I don't lay awake at night worrying about where I'm going. God has given peace. And what he tells Gideon is, as he erects that altar to the Lord and calls it Jehovah Shalom. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In this turbulent world, we can have peace with God. Let me tell you how. Number one, we can have peace that heaven's your home. Whatever somebody does to me, my destination has already been settled. I may lose everything that I've got financially. Physically, health may be ripped from me. As far as my footprint in this world, it may be erased. But I have peace because my home's in heaven. My soul's eternal destination is settled. I have peace that heaven's your home. Not only do you have peace about that, but you also have peace that your effort and your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those of you who have been helping some family, there's so many folks that I was talking with an educator recently, so many grandparents who are helping their grandchildren. They didn't sign up for that, but for one reason or another, life circumstance or something, they've had to basically be the mom and dad to the grandkids like they were to the first set. And you think that your labor just goes unnoticed? No, sir. You think those times when you're there for somebody like you ought to be just goes ignored? No, sir. The Bible teaches that God has great accounting, and God sees, if he sees the sparrow fall, you know he cares for us. And the Bible says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then lastly, you can see peace during the trials in your life. I have the privilege of helping with so many funerals, some in our church and some not. They say, well, that's not much of a privilege. My wife, Amy, thinks that I'm a weirdo for many reasons, but one, now, I never want to be back in the back part of the funeral home, but I love to help families. And I've seen peace dished out by God to families that there's no, Brother Walter knows so much because he helps with families at this time. But they should have no reason to be calm except to say that God dished out some extra peace. I'll close with this illustration. Daniel Whittle, he wrote the song, Showers of Blessing. There should be showers of blessing, the hymn writer of that. Fought for the Union Army in the Civil War. At the Battle of Vicksburg, he lost his right arm. He was in a Confederate hospital for prisoners of war. And he was bored, and so he wanted something to do. And a New Testament was given to him, although he wasn't a Christian. He had nothing else to do, so he'd read the New Testament and read it again. He'd just read it. One night, he was woke up by an orderly. And the orderly asked Daniel Whittle if you would come pray with a soldier who was about to die. Whittle said no. He rejected and said, why would you ask me? He said, I'm not a Christian. He said, I see you reading the book. And after the orderly starts to leave, Whittle reconsiders. And he said, wait a minute, I'll go. So he takes that New Testament and goes to this dying soldier. And so many thoughts are going through Whittle's mind. I don't even know the Savior. But he'd been reading the scriptures enough where faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've got to get it in you before you understand it. And so he said, I don't even know the Lord. I'm not a Christian. But they brought him into that crude station that they all were in those days. And the orderly left him to this young soldier who was conscious at this point. And he knelt down beside him with the one arm that he had. And Whittle, through his testimony, says, he said, I went to the boy and I dropped to my knees. I put his hand in my one hand. He said, as I was kneeling there by this bedside to be the chaplain, unsaved as I was, he said, I first cried out to Jesus Christ myself that he would save my wretched soul and make me a Christian. Take me to heaven. He says, then I prayed for the boy. And the boy who was talking up to this point got quiet. And he squeezed Whittle's hand, squeezed my hand. And he prayed also, receiving the Lord as his Savior. He said there was a look of peace on the boy's face. And he says, I guess you could say God used him, the boy, to bring me to the Savior, and he used me to lead him to trust Christ's precious blood and find pardon. God gave peace when war was literally all around. And to Gideon, when God's servant came to him, God's spokesman, the angel of the Lord, when the angel of the Lord came to him and said, thou mighty man of valor. He says, if I'm such a mighty man of valor, where's all the evidence? Where's all the proof? Or as he put it, where be all the miracles? And this morning I'm trusting that the Lord has impressed on you that as God answered him back, and God says, surely I'll be with you. And surely you'll win. And then I'm going to give you my peace through the victory. But through the battle and then through the victory. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're like Gideon, you're saying, if God's so good, why am I having all these problems? Perhaps we're looking at the wrong elements. And you're forgetting that God's been with you through every inch of the valley that you've been crawling through. If God be with me, where be all the miracles? Can I ask you this? Has he been faithful to give his presence to you through all these problems? Has he allowed you the strength to go on day by day, even when you didn't think you could? Has he allowed that peace to come over you, even in the midst of the valleys? I would submit to you, if you haven't felt that, it's mostly because we don't allow him to comfort us. If God's with you, my friend, you've got it, as the little boy said, made in the shade with pink lemonade. Because your heavenly home is secured. The peace of God goes with you until you finally take your ascent into heaven. And he gives the promise of victory. And if you're here today and you're not trusting in the Lord as a Christian, but you're not relying on him like you should, today's the day that you let him start working on your heart, giving that peace that you need to go through whatever problems are coming your way. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not sure that you're a Christian, you're not sure you're a child of God, always to describe the same position, no wonder you've been having difficulty in your life. You need the Savior to save your soul, to forgive your sins, to make you a way in heaven, but then also to be with you through every trial, every everything that comes your way. And if you're here today and you're not saved, this is a wonderful day, my friend, to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I thank you for each and every person here. Lord, I pray that if there's one or several that are not sure that they're saved, that they would take this opportunity to step out and come and let Daniel or somebody take a Bible and show them how they could be sure they're on their way to heaven. And then, Lord, if there's Christians that are not at peace today, Lord, it's there for them. I pray you would unleash it on their soul. I pray they would accept it from you and they would trust you. Father, bless in whichever way you want to in this invitation. I pray as we stand in just a moment that those that need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that they would step out and come. I pray those that are saved but they've never been baptized, that they would come present themselves to be baptized. And of course, Lord, we pray for those that are not sure they're saved to come and be saved. Bless in a special way, we ask in Jesus' name. Would you stand together with us as you're able as they begin to play? If you're here today and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel, standing in front of the pulpit I preach from, would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you're coming to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Several have talked to us, and this is a wonderful day. I've already got word from one sweet Christian lady that's been a blessing to Amy and I that she's joining with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. She's already came to me today. As they continue to play, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come? You'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? We certainly would appreciate that. We'd certainly love to have you in the fellowship. Well, thank you. You can look this way, and we want to say a great welcome to those that are. Amy and I had a class last Sunday for Sunday school, and these folks were all there, and others are praying, thinking, looking, and we're so thankful though for Miss Sheila Price is saved and loves the Lord, baptized, and is a member of a good church up in Abington. But her wonderful son is a great blessing, Brother Brett Price, and they've been coming here for years. But Miss Sheila is desiring to join with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Miss June Pummel also saved and baptized, joined by statement that she'd like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And then several of you have gotten to know him, but Brother Kelby and Miss Sheila Moore, wonderful friends we've known from Ohio, but saved and baptized, and members of a good church up there. They'll transfer their letter to here. But these families have decided to that it's the Lord's will that they join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That thrills my soul. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. And so we'll just see if we have a motion. Brother Marty and Brother Marty Scroggs makes a motion that we accept all three of these families into membership. Brother Scott Martin seconds that nomination. And all in favor of these joining Buffalo Ridge, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All opposed? Same sign? Wonderful. Motion carries. That's right. It's a joy to see this. It's a wonderful thing. God's hand is upon us. We're thankful for that. And I'm going to let the folks slip out that are getting to our guest services center. And if you are a guest with us today, this is the first time, maybe the first time in a long time. If you got a bulletin, you filled out some information that you were comfortable with, or if you didn't get one, they've got some extra forms back there. Here's what we'll do with it. We'll send you a note this week. We'll have a record of your visit, and just want to thank you for being our guest today. And so we're so thankful for that, and so great to have my sister here today with us as well. And she's here. I love to say she just loves her brother, but her nephew, Jared, graduates in about a week and a half down in Pensacola. Her niece, Maddie, our redhead, she graduates tomorrow at Crown College, and so I think that has something to do with it as well. But so I want you to be praying for Brother David Sales. His mom went home to be with the Lord just a few days ago, and he's a wonderful brother. I appreciate him. And that service will be Tuesday evening at 6:30 at the Christian Church. Yes. Amen. And so certainly be praying for Brother David if you would. And make sure if you're able to, you got a little extra time, slip by and see these new members and welcome them here and just thank them for coming and thank them for following the Lord's leading here. God bless you. You're dismissed.